Welcome to Own It, the podcast where we talk to real estate thought leaders about embracing your strengths, taking your career to new heights, and owning your future.
We are live at Side by Side in almost sunny San Diego.
Almost sunny San Diego.
We didn't need a boat because that happened a couple days ago. It flooded apparently.
You know, on my way down here, they actually have, from LA, I took the train down and I got an alert on my phone saying, state of emergency declared in San Diego. I'm like, wow, this is great.
Right?
Yeah.
But no, we passed by that, yeah. So we're good. And my train riding co-host.
There you go.
We'll go into your train experiences later, but let's introduce our guest.
Please.
The beautiful Laura Alice of Eve Capital. Hello and welcome to Own It. I'm so happy you joined us.
I'm so happy to be here. It's really fun.
See, Laura Alice is one of my favorite people because she is one of the only partners of Side that does commercial.
Yes.
And you are a kick-ass woman in a traditionally male-dominated commercial real estate space.
Well, this is where Side and I really come together, right? The whole point of disruption is very exciting. And I have been in the industry and seen that our sales force does not match our clientele. Our clientele is very diverse. Mm-hmm. A lot of non-natives, a lot of people who've come to this country, immigrated, and you see they've built something from nothing. And when you look at the sales force, they're just, we call them blue suits. They're all the same model. And it would be really lovely to have a sales force that reflected our actual clients.
That is interesting. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, Spencer, please, that I don't think you knew that I did.
No.
Here we are. Every time, every episode, Spencer says, oh, in my past life, I was X, Y, or Z. I was a tiger trainer with Siegfried and Roy. That's another story.
But I have a story about that, but yes, go ahead.
But in my prior life, I actually negotiated commercial cell tower leases for property owners for AT&T.
Yeah, that's nice.
So that was my dealing with commercial realtors who at that time were all men that I dealt with. So how did you get into commercial real estate?
You know, I've always loved commercial. And it's interesting. My father was a builder. My mother was a bookkeeper. And neither of them ever bought commercial for themselves. They owned one home and that was it. My uncle got his real estate license out of high school and then became a great agent and then actually grew an empire of commercial real estate. So he had a different skill set. His skill set was a people skill set. And my parents had their skill sets and they were never able to translate it. And so I grew up going to construction sites with my dad in the summers and learning and watching, you know, all of the vendors put together whatever plumbing or electrical and asking questions and watching roofs go up and loving that part. And then sometimes my mom would have clients where she worked at a firm, but then she would have, you know, some side hustle clients and she would have these big spreadsheets. You know, it was back in the day before Yardi and all of the other systems, Lotus, you know, that we have now. And she would bring these beautiful big spreadsheets home and have her tape ticker calculator. And I loved that, seeing how everything added up and how it was just so perfect. And
do you have a little bit of a OCD streak? Because I'm resonating with you. The perfect lines.
I think everyone would say yes, who knows me. I think it's just regular, honestly. I think it's just the way things should be.
Right. That's fair.
Did you ever do residential before doing, you just went into commercial.
And it wasn't my first gig either. I had another job first. And our biggest line item was the commercial real estate that we occupied. And so bringing that in-house was huge for us. And then when that business started to change, it became, okay, well, what are we going to do with this real estate now? And my background was like, well, we should rent this. It'll give us stable income. All we need to do is just reconfigure it. We'll take up less square footage. We'll rent the other. And then during that process, I just liked that job better. And it made me feel, I think, more a part of other businesses that we were renting to. I loved seeing them scale up and grow out of our space. I loved watching people scale down and come into our space. And I was like, you know what? The other job was not for me anymore. It was a dying business. And I thought, I'm going to go into real estate full time.
You were doing music production, right? So that space. The space that you're in right now, I've been to your offices in Venice, California. They're beautiful. That's the building that you own. That's where you were renting out space. And I remember when you first came on board, we had lunch together. And you were showing me how you had gone into a smaller space. I think they were still doing construction when I came in, because I vaguely remember a ladder or something being there that you were closing something off.
It was a ladder he walked under always.
And that's bad luck ever since there. But when you were doing that, though, so you were obviously a numbers person, though, because you had to figure out your budgets and make stuff work. How does that translate to working with your clients and their commercial needs?
Well, I deal with really a couple of different clients, right? One is an owner user, somebody like where I was coming from at the time who wants to occupy the space for their business. So we're talking about the line items. Okay, well, how much are you paying in rent now? How much is your insurance? How, if you brought that in and you started investing in your own equity, how could that change your business over time? Because one of the things that I have from this building is freedom.
So that's so similar to on the residential side, because our listeners are both, right, resi and commercial, is we preach don't rent, you should own, because why pay to someone else? So similarly, have you seen it, and especially in like Southern California, where I think ground is very expensive, is it still affordable to the business owner to buy a space and work in it and then write it off?
I think it's the best thing they can do for their financial freedom. Right? The one thing that they can take off their line items of paying someone else money to, they're really putting it in their own back pocket. They can borrow against it whenever they need a loan of any kind for their business, if they want to expand. And when they retire as an independent business person, nobody's putting money into my 401k. So I need to plan for that future. And I can either plan that being a landlord, or I can plan that selling and then cashing out and doing something else with that money.
Sure. Or you can sell and just lease back if you need the space still or something. So you do
we
have
do
a lot of options that way too.
Yeah.
So so I want to talk to you about being a woman though in the commercial space. I played with commercial in multifamily mainly, a couple of strip centers, which is a whole
not
other
a strip
world.
Club, let's
not
a be strip. Clear.
That's
some of them do have
okay.
strip clubs well, in the strip center.
So we'll chat about that later on. But yeah, I have that career too, and then office buildings. And but then there are all these subsets, and I'm wondering if you specialize in one thing, because I remember working with a doctor who was looking for space, and I knew office buildings. I didn't know medical office buildings, so I didn't know what to ask. So I'm just curious, how do you specialize in something, and how did you learn that, and how do you learn more things?
I got lucky. My first passion was office and industrial. They go together most of the time. So you'll find office, industrial, retail, multifamily, right? Then you can get into multifamily, student housing, right? Everything, hospitality has its own little subset, medical office. All of that has characteristics that make it uniquely it. We recommend that everybody specialize in something. Now, I was lucky when I started to grow a team at my previous firm. The people that were coming under me wanted to do product types that weren't mine. And at first, I was a little reluctant. I was like, look, I'm not a multifamily person. That's a different game. But they had connected me with somebody who really was adamant about multifamily, and they kind of didn't know what else to do with the ladies, to be honest with you. They just kept feeding me the ladies to mentor because they couldn't give them to the guys.
Yeah.
So I became the safe space in that office for those people, and it forced me to learn other product types. And I got to go to all the national meetings on those product types and really get to absorb, well, what does it, you know, what is important for that particular thing. So I now have a really well-rounded version of knowledge, which I'm really happy about, but I realize that's really not for everyone. Most people, when I then say those things, it doesn't connect. And I love that really the goal is to connect the product with the client, you know, or help the client out of that product. And so being well-versed in a lot of product types has helped me, and it's helped me grow my team to be more of a well-rounded team.
So do you have people that specialize in different types? You do. That's great. That's great to do that.
Yeah, it's important. You can't do it all, you know, and really my job isn't necessarily, I'm still client facing a lot of the time, but I imagine as I grow, I imagine stepping away from that and being more for the agents differently. You know, they need the support just like the clients need the support. And if we can provide that to them, I can see the business growing really well.
Well, I want to have you demystify something for me, because there is a misconception in the commercial space that it is very complicated to understand triple net, whatever this, landlord pays for that, like to understand, oh, you get tenant build out costs and how does that work? And is it really that difficult to, if you really wanted to say, hey, I want to understand it, is it a whole nother language? Is it Latin?
That's a good question. Not to me, but I think part of it is I love the product. And when I get a new agent, really what I tell them, I don't care what product you specialize in, but you have to like that product.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
If you do not love that product, it will not matter. And all the products are all good. You know, some sell faster than others, but that depends on the market. So you can't control that. Just pick something that you feel personally connected to. And so when you do that, it's easy to learn that language.
Right.
You know, when you're not invested in learning that language, when it feels like a chore, forget it. You're never going to win there. But if you truly get excited about medical office or hotels or apartments or, you know, industrial space, then it's easy.
Maybe you have a personal connection to one versus another, right?
Most people do.
Yeah. Well, I was a generalist as when I was a real estate agent. I did mainly residential, but I had clients that were building portfolios. And I, having worked in property management previously to that, I could speak to them about certain things, but my knowledge only took me so far, right? So I would help them buy a fourplex or a fiveplex or something, right? So, you know, technically commercial space at that point. But I remember calling other agents looking at larger apartment buildings, and they would hang up on me. It was like, oh, damn, would hang up on me.
You didn't have the creds.
Well, does this still exist in the commercial world?
I will tell you, before I came to Side, I didn't know any residential agents. Mm-hmm. They tell you, it's a cultural issue.
Yeah.
They're telling you, don't waste your time on those people. They don't know anything. The deals won't go smoothly. Those buyers aren't going to work out. Mm-hmm. They tell you all these things like, don't waste your time on those residential agents. And so I don't know any different. I'm listening to the culture that's before me. And I'm like, okay. And since leaving and coming to Side, I love these residential agents. They know all sorts of stuff. And I have more in common with these independent business people and how they treat their mm-hmm. clients and the kind of customer service they provide than I ever did with my other colleagues. So, you know, a lot of what I've taken on with starting Eve was not only making sure our sales force is trying to be representative of our clientele, but many of the deals that get done on the commercial side are residential and off-market.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm going to have the biggest impact on the clients, I need to help these residential agents through these transactions. So I've been trying to be an open door for as many residential agents as possible. I started an internship with all of our city colleges in LA.
So how creative.
There's 9 district city colleges in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. and they all kind of are under one umbrella. And we do an 8-week internship of everything you want to know about commercial real estate, start to finish.
Wow.
So we meet once a week where they watch a video and then we talk about the concepts. I do it during the lunch hour because I get a lot of working professionals to do it. Some people from the assessor's office have taken it, which is awesome. Mm. I've had a lot of side agents start to take it too.
I want
to
take it.
I might sign up for this.
Yeah. Awesome. It's so much fun. I get so much joy out of it.
Do you serve food? I'm just curious.
No. This is,
brown
I'm still
lunch.
I'm still going to do it anyway.
You can eat while we're
doing
it.
Okay. All right.
So we do 1 hour. Then I invite them to my advanced team training, which is another hour during the week. So they won't get it, but it'll start to get them into what we're talking about and why. And then I do something else that's super aggressive. I invite them to our team training, or our weekly team meeting, mm-hmm. which is weird. You can't go to a team meeting until you've already joined the team.
Oh, interesting.
So how do you know if you like that? How do you know that you even like the job mm-hmm. unless you've been able to look at what's going on behind the curtain? So I want to show everyone what's going on so that people are inspired to join commercial. They don't just assume, oh, I'm getting a license, I'm going into residential.
Yeah.
And to give the residential agents just a little bit of knowledge so that they feel confident when they're talking to their clients.
Right.
That's amazing. I mean, that you're like the Rosetta Stone of... No, seriously, because it is so awful when you're trying to do this. And sometimes your clients... Like, I didn't have anybody to go to when my clients would say, yeah. Well, you know, I want to do a 5-year IRR. I'm like, of course you do. Like, you know,
let me look that up.
Long Island Railroad. Like, what is? Like, I didn't know what it was. And it took somebody. I had a teacher. I went to them and I said, "Can you explain this to me?" And he's like, "Yeah, sure." And showed me on the 12C.
Well, I think similarly in when we talk like generational wealth, right? Yeah. Just as a general concept and understanding ROI and what income you need and cap rates and all that, it seems very foreign and daunting. And I think that's part of what you're demystifying is that this is actually tangible for the average person mm-hmm. who owns a business or can, you know, invest in themselves. So let's talk commercial real estate, shall we? Okay. And because you've been in a few market cycles, you are very young. I don't know how that's humanly possible, but you've done it.
Don't forget, I have a 20-year-old.
That's not possible.
Yes. I know. I have a 20-year-old. I celebrated my 30th anniversary with my husband last year.
Wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, yeah. I'm deceptively old, I think.
I think my ex-wife just celebrated our 10th anniversary of our divorce. I think yes. She's, you know, so that's different milestones. But
hey, you know, they all count.
Yes.
they all work towards your life experience.
It's all cumulative.
How long did you make the pivot to real estate from the studio music studio space?
Well, I went full-time commercial real estate in 2014, so I'll be celebrating my 10-year this year.
Okay.
But I had done my own management for years before then and had done our own stuff. It just hadn't done it for other people. And I realized that I wanted to do more transactions. I wanted to see how other people did their IRR, right? What do they know that I don't know? And really, brokerage is a great way to see everyone's deals.
Right. So, I mean, I think the news is very clear. I mean, the national news do a spotlight on San Francisco and the mass exodus of commercial spaces. And even there was one on 60 Minutes a couple weeks ago, I think, that they were talking about New York, massive, you know, impending doom.
Sure.
Whatnot? What is actually happening? Because I don't necessarily trust the talking heads on national television. So
well, I appreciate that because you look, transactions are down across the board. We can't deny that. It doesn't really matter on our level. Like, I don't have 20,000 mouths to feed in my company. So for us, it shouldn't have any impact. It's had an interesting impact. Let me say it this way. We were, from 2022 to 2023, we were up in transactional volume by 27%.
Wow.
And that yielded less than 1% of income shift.
Really?
Yeah. Interesting.
So we had to do a third more work
in
order to yield the same results.
Because prices came down, because businesses...
Prices came down. We did a lot more leasing because people were more interested in leasing because they knew that if they were going to put it on the market, it wasn't going to do as well. So they would just say, great, lease it up for us. And leasing is a great way for us to help make sure that our clients don't write bad leases. A bad lease will ruin a building, right? I've seen millions of dollars lost from one bad lease.
Yeah. What I think is very interesting, though, too, about your philosophy, you are such a friendly, open person. I mean, you really are. I mean, you're a pleasure to see whenever I run into you, and to talk to is always wonderful. And I think that is so different than other commercial agents. Because, again, it's just curmudgeonly sort of, you know, I'm here to eat your children sort of attitude from what a lot of agents have. There's so much to do in real estate that you can get business from residential agents, right? Like to coach them. I'm curious about if you try to foster those relationships because you say, oh, well, you know, they just bought a house. Well, have they bought an investment property for their grandkids? Like they just, you know, like that's a good birth, you know, a good gift or something.
Do they run the dry cleaners down the street? Do they have an office building where they're an attorney and they've always rented and now it's time to buy?
Yeah.
You know, their commercial real estate is in everyone's life. We probably spend more time in commercial spaces than we do in single family residential spaces, but we just don't think about them when we're in them. You know, the grocery store, the whatever it is that we are, it's so a part of the fabric of everybody's life that we kind of take it for granted. Now, my colleagues, you know, the blue suits of the world love the separation. They love that they've got the knowledge and no one else does. So they love the idea of making somebody else feel like they don't know and I know better than you do. And honestly, I think it's a huge missed opportunity for them.
What about now when prices, that you do see an opportunity for people, i.e. the residential real estate person who owns their own company, to actually invest in commercial, to then have a home where they are no longer leasing out a space, where they own it themselves. What do you think about that opportunity right now?
Oh, I'm working with a side partner right now, helping
them
find an office.
Yeah, I thought you were so happy.
They should. This is huge. We did this. I was always so impressed at all the side-by-sides. At one point, someone had come up and shown everyone their P&L. And I remember being in this auditorium going, oh my God, I can't believe they're showing us their P&L. This is ridiculous. And the first biggest line item is their rent.
Yep.
And my immediate question is, why aren't you buying your space? And their response was, oh, I'm actually in the process of doing that. And I thought, good for you. You know, we should be at home in our work. Now, I know work from home has shifted that for a lot of people. A lot of residential don't want office in the same way. And San Francisco, in particular, has done some very strange regulations to prevent real estate offices from going in any retail space.
Mm. Well, which is weird. I wasn't even aware of that.
Oh, gosh. San Francisco is having such an interesting shift. And I was there in August, and, you know, it wasn't as bad as everybody's saying it is. And I guess this goes to the news. They always say it's so much worse than it is. But to see so much vacancy, I mean, I'm looking at vacant apartment buildings. If you want to buy an apartment building in San Francisco, now's a great time to do mm-hmm. that. The real estate's great. The city is great. But the work isn't there, mm-hmm. right? So
right.
office creates residential, which creates retail. So if you don't have that chain of supply, it all shifts.
So where are you seeing it shifting to? Because after the pandemic, a lot of people moved out to the quote unquote country yeah. because they wanted, you know, space. They had to, you know, have some acreage to not just, you know, walk up and down apartment steps.
Yeah. Or down a long, right? narrow yeah, corridor.
Some of them have elevators, too.
What? They
yeah.
do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Long, narrow corridors.
Right? But what are you seeing that shift? Like, if they're moving out of, say, downtown San Diego or LA or San Francisco, yeah. where are they going to? And how is that changing that landscape? Like, is that an opportunity?
It is. I think the real estate is always valid, right? It is going to have a use. Wherever people are, they're going to need to use it. Right now, they're not using office the way they used to. But I was just talking with a client, and this will be the third space I've worked on with them. And I was like, look, you now live out of state. You've got, I think he had like 50, 60 employees that are all over the world. And I was like, why do you even have this office space in Santa Monica anymore? Like, why are you here? Did you get rid of this? And he's like, no, my employees love it. For the 20 people that want to come into the office, he's like 100% of the time they are there at least 3 days a week. Mm-hmm. And then the other two, I get about 50% of the people. They threw up their arms and said, no, we don't want to. Yeah. So it is really about the culture. You can't make people go into an office. As we've seen, the mandates are, you know, they're not getting compliance.
Sure.
You know, so how do you inspire people to want to see the value of being together? That's a cultural issue.
Right.
And that's each company has to decide its culture and really where are they going to be. A lot of the jobs can be done out of state from somewhere else.
Yeah. See, I always want to go up to the San Francisco office and I'm told, please don't.
But no, he wants to go up because he's in love with the bevy.
The bevy. Which, if you know, we'll talk about it. We should do a whole show on the bevy.
We should do a show.
I used to have a building right around the corner from there on Natoma.
Oh, see, yeah.
See, this is what I find fascinating, though, because you're talking about what the market is doing in San Francisco and what's going on in Los Angeles. When you're a residential agent, you're just saying, well, I know what's happening in Santa Monica. And someone says, well, what's happening in Culver City? I don't know. Because you're only tracking so much, and it's such a particular thing. So, do you do business in San Francisco?
I do business all across the United States. Mm-hmm. And what I do is now I just make strategic partners with other side partners and say, hey, I've got a deal in Colorado. Let's work together. And, you know, when it comes to commercial, when people are looking for investments, they're not looking for the same thing. And there's not as many, right? Housing is really concentrated. You can, you know, find a farm with like 300, 500, you know, homes. When it comes to commercial, it's like we're just up and down the major streets.
Yeah.
So there's just less of it. And because people are chasing the investment differently, right, they might be chasing yield. So if it's not happening for them in California because of legislation or other issues, they'll go to Arizona, the Carolinas, Florida, Texas. So we need to be able to help them make money where they can. And that could be anywhere in the United States.
But another question for you, though, because people do invest very differently. I had an investor who wanted to lose money because he loved these apartment buildings he had. They no longer had depreciation. Mm-hmm. So he would buy other stuff so that he could run a loss against them. So he said, I just need to lose on paper $1,000 or $2,000 a month. And he says, I can afford to lose $500 in actual cash out on these things. And he bought a bunch of condos as investment properties just to offset what he was making, you know, everything was a tax game. So you have people that do taxes. You have to know so much as a commercial agent.
No tax advice.
No. I know that. No. But I'm saying, when you're running, you know, when you're running your spreadsheets on there, where they're showing, you know, like what your net income is going to be and how much, you know, you might be able to show as a loss. How much, like, depending on different asset classes, I guess, like between office and warehouse or whatever, do you bring other people in? Yourself, yeah, I love that you're nodding your head.
We work a lot with other accountants, attorneys, whoever is on their team. We just want to be a member of that team so that they know exactly what they're getting into. Mm-hmm. And the tax ramifications from buying and selling commercial are huge. So, you know, this is something that a tax professional has to be involved in. And we talk a lot to accountants and attorneys for that reason.
So let's talk about like growing Eve Capital. And that kind of segues into where I was going is like, how do you find your clients? Are you working with those tax professionals, those estate planners, the people who are actually the money managers to kind of broaden your client base and referral base?
Sometimes, you know, we still cold call. And which I always find it so interesting that people are really like against cold calling, but it is the fastest, cheapest, easiest way to make money I have ever seen in my life. Mm. Like all I have to do, I dress up every day, suit, you know, heels and lipstick. I can't do business and get my head in the game without it.
Spencer just rolls out of bed and sweats.
No, I actually do lipstick, but that's a whole other thing.
But all I have to do is pick up the phone and talk to a stranger.
Yeah.
And honestly, if you're coming from a very genuine place and if you're adding value to them, whatever it is, you have to come with a gift. I don't come with an expectation of getting. I come with an expectation of giving. If they don't want my gift, so be it. You know, whether it's a rent roll, because so many people don't survey their rents before they re-rent. And
oh,
they're like, well, I charged $1 before, so maybe $1.10 is reasonable. And you're like, oh, good Lord, it's $3 now. Please let me help you at least know what the neighborhood's getting in rent for this. So we offer free rent surveys. We do comp surveys all the time for people. We'll come in and do just an assessment. Hey, you know what? We see your building. This is why we think it's not renting. Here are your issues. And we would love to have you improve those things before we take it to market. You know, there's so much we can do that is going to be helpful for them in the long run of owning, managing, or selling, that we're just focused on doing the best we can for the client.
You know, I had, when I was coaching, I had a agent that wanted to get into investment real estate, and she had a great way of building it, is that she would drive and look for rent signs that were mom and pop for rent signs. And she would call them and say, hey, are you working with agents? No. And they're like, great. So that was like perfect for her. They say, you know, I'm really looking to buy my own. Can I talk to you about your properties for a bit? I'd like to learn, you know, do you own other buildings? And she was building this thing of this affinity. And then she'd say, hey, you know, you've owned this for 40 years. Have you thought about selling and maybe buying a larger building, or that you can get new depreciation or exchanging it or whatever? And all she did, she wasn't selling. She was calling to learn about their business and then, you know, have this idea of how they can improve. I love that you said, I'm coming with a gift. Yeah. I want to write that down. I should have written it down.
Well, I think that's, that is very similar to not necessarily like a physical gift, but it's a value. I'm bringing a value to you, right?
Well, and it's something they wouldn't be able to get on their own.
Right.
This is the real hurdle, I think, with making commercial more popular amongst agents, is the amount of fees I pay because they paywall all of the information.
Mm-hmm.
Unlike in residential, you guys have fair housing laws. So you have to share. We don't have those same laws on our side. So everything's behind a paywall.
Mm-hmm.
I had a client come to me and they were like, this proposal is beautiful, Laura, but how do I know that all the relevant information is in there? How do I know that you didn't cherry pick the data, or that it's complete?
Oh, because they can't just look at it.
Just check.
Yeah.
So the next time I saw them, I was like, here's all of the data because I think you can handle it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will see everything in your product type in your neighborhood that's leased and sold in the past year.
Yeah.
And let's talk about it.
And you've been there with the development of, as CoStar has gotten large. I mean, I'm assuming that's still, you know, the big gorilla in the room
standard,
or whatever it is. But where now they are collecting much more information than they used to collect, though, too. Like, you can find out what actual rents are in an area by running it that
or
way.
Or when their debt's coming due and what those loan payments are. I mean, it's interesting the kind of data you
get. All right, so that's another thing with commercial also, which people don't look up at CMBS and all that, like where you have all these investment opportunities. Do you work with lenders finding out when debt is coming up?
And so we chase a lot of debt, especially right now. I think there's $1 trillion in debt just coming up this year in office. I think over the next 3 years, we're at $5 trillion. So that's an enormous amount of debt coming due. When they took out the debt, it was a completely different rate.
Right.
And commercial debt works very different than residential debt. We have to refi every 3, 5, 7, and 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
There are 15-year loans, but nobody gets those. They're just too expensive and not worth it.
Sure.
But that's a lot. So everybody has to cycle through that 3, 5, 7, and 10 years.
And those rates partially are based on what your occupancy is and what your rent roll is.
Yep.
And so if you've got no rent or you've got empty space, then you're kind of up a creek without a paddle.
Yep. And so now when we're seeing high vacancy and debt coming due, they won't, even if they get new debt, it won't pencil anymore. It'll be running in the red, mm-hmm. and they might not want to take that loss. So there's going to be, I think, a lot of volume and sales shift.
I don't know if everybody can hear through our mics, but that is the background noise of Side by Side. Excitement it's is like the community that you don't hear at any other real estate convention, because everybody is just so pumped to be here. It's so, I love it. It's energizing.
I know. Yeah,
they're all on coffee.
They're all on coffee. No, I think people are fairly, I mean, it's past coffee time, I think, right? Because it's 1:30. So I think people are pretty happy about that. One thing, which also, what you mentioned, or Hillary, what you mentioned, I don't know, which one of you mentioned it now, but you're talking about how the debt cycles, you know, understanding that it's a five-year understanding and underwriting a property, which again, you don't have to do in residential. For me, you know, one of the main takeaways that I get from you is, again, you're so open and you're willing to work, but it's a great way for you to get business to know residential agents. And one thing that made me really happy was that you brought on a residential agent that I did some deals with and who's doing commercial with you. And I love her energy and her attitude. And she had such a can-do thing, but so different. We could not be having this conversation with any of the commercial agents that I know.
No, because they're really happy to keep it
behind the paywall.
Totally. Yeah. They would love to keep it behind the paywall because they know that it won't flood the market with agents. And you guys have this on the residential side. You got a bunch of weekenders.
Yeah.
We don't have weekenders. I have never known anyone who does commercial part-time. It just doesn't work. You know, you can't do it like that. So they're afraid. And that fear is holding them back from seeing growth. And that's a real shame.
See, I had a client once, and this is where I got my ass handed to me, and I realized I need to work with people that know what they're doing. And he was looking for retail space. He had a makeup brand. Mm-hmm. And so it was like 2009 or so. So like, there's a lot of vacant space in malls and stuff. And I remember calling a mall and trying to get them to call me back, and they finally did. You know, I used my HP12C line, which is magic. And they quoted me the rent, and it was like, I mean, I was looking at something of like, you know, $450 a foot, and they said, oh, yeah, it's $48 a foot. And I'm thinking, and there's this long pause, and I went, oh, that's yearly, isn't it? And they said, oh, we should sit down. Like, that was it. They were done with me at that point. But that's when I went to somebody and said, hey, can you help me with retail space? And it was no problem. And they ended up, and again, this is why it's really important to work with a commercial agent that understands these things in this class, because what they knew is that there was a retail chain that was actually looking to rent out space within their stores to have small boutiques. So this guy, instead of having to, because it was someone that I never knew of this opportunity, that he was able to rent space in a larger store and then get national presence that way.
Oh, that's smart.
So yeah,
this is how grocery stores work. Mm-hmm. Everything on the aisle is rented. Vendor pays to have those items on the shelf.
I had no idea. So what I'm saying is, it's so important to talk.
Isn't that weird?
But
do you have a YouTube channel talking about commercial? You should, because this is fascinating.
I have to say, most of the commercial sites, we don't really do a lot of social media. I'm trying to change that for myself this year, just to be a little bit more present in the community, to help give information, to help share what's going on, and to be, you know, again, a resource for as many people as possible, because it is hard when it feels like you're not invited to the party.
Mm-hmm. But this is so fascinating, because it's like, did you know, right? That spotlight, I'm sure that's trademarked by NBC, I think.
is that?
I think so.
No, now you, is it?
No,
when else,
I don't
did you know.
Anyway,
whatever it was.
I digress. But my point is that it is so fascinating, because if you told the average person that the vendor or whoever is paying for those spots on the grocery store shelf, I'd be like, haha, that's funny.
Yeah, right.
Believe you.
And again, in residential, like, the key, if you're listening to this, right, and you're residential, make friends with Laura Alice, or find, in your market, find the friendly commercial person, or footfalls. I had no idea what footfalls were, right? And then, in terms of retail spaces, I had no idea what that was. Do you know what that is?
Oh. Isn't that this noise your foot makes when you walk above me?
It's the number of people walking traffic in front of your store.
Okay. And that, I will tell you, I've seen some amazing data where they actually are tracking cell phones. They're doing it anonymously, but they can see movements. So if I pay for this data, I can basically see how many people are coming to this retail center. When is it hot? When is it quiet? Mm-hmm. Where are they coming from? Are they coming from the apartment building a mile away, 2 miles away? I can now, as that vendor, send coupons to that apartment building.
So clever.
It's amazing what they can see.
And they're also learning, from what I understand, is within larger malls, they can say, oh, the person from Zara went to H&M.
Totally.
Sorry, there you go. The person from Zara went to H&M but did not go to Banana Republic, but they did go to Coffee Bean and Tea Leaf. Like they'll have this data of where people go individually, but also planning how much they can charge for rent in separate areas based on the type of store that was there. It blows my mind. We don't have, you know.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah. Because I can say to a tenant who's looking to say, oh, I need a price decrease on my rent. Well, how can that be? The store is, you know, the highest performing of your franchise. You're getting actually more foot traffic than you did last year. Mm-hmm. So, no, you're not going to get a rent decrease.
Yeah.
So we know that your goal for this year is to be more present on social. We can find you at Eve Capital.
Yep.
I want to hear one kind of like big, hairy, audacious goal that you have for 2024.
Well, the biggest goal, I think, is diversity in our industry, in our sector. It's going to be the hardest thing to achieve, mostly because I cannot hire agents that are already in the industry, which is where agents from the residential side that have always wanted to come to commercial, they're a good translation there. You know, they know the contracts, they understand some generals, they know client management, but they might not know the details. And it's really that, I think, is going to be the biggest part of Eve in total, but being on social, making sure that we're connecting with communities and making sure that we're more present in the residential community so they do have a safe place to go.
Yeah.
Where I'm not interested in stealing their job or their client. I don't want any of that. I just want the work with them to educate them so that they do a better job.
Right.
You know, the goal is really client services.
It's collaborative, right? We're elevating the industry together. And
exactly.
Laura Alice, you're amazing. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your busy schedule today to join us and talk all things commercial. But you can find Laura at
evecap.com is our website, and there's a phone number on that. If you guys want to call me up, I'm happy to talk commercial anytime. It's my favorite subject.
I love it. You can always email her too at ownit@side.com because we'll pass that along. But thank you very much.
Thank you.
And enjoy Side by Side, and we will see you all back on another episode of Own It coming up shortly. Spencer, anything?
I'm energized. This is great. Yeah.
No coffee necessary.
No coffee. Not today.
All right. Well, thank you all. Appreciate
it. Thanks.